1 Corinthians 15. We're going to read to begin with verses 1 through 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 through 20. And notice the Apostle Paul is giving his arguments here about the resurrection. And I want to welcome you to lesson number 1 in our course on apologetics on the subject of the resurrection, hoax or history. The resurrection, hoax, H-O-A-X, or history. It's either one or the other. No matter what your position is concerning this event, you can only take one of two positions. It was either a big hoax or it was history, a fact of history. Of course, we as believers in Jesus Christ take the position that is a fact of history, but can we prove it? And so we're going to begin from the ground up today and over many lessons after this, trying to establish an argument, a defense, an apologetic, so we can contend for the faith. As we're going to see, if there's no resurrection, there is no faith. And there is no hope if Christ did not rise from the dead. Now, according to the calendar, Jesus rose from the dead, we believe, around 29 A.D., around 29 A.D., maybe give or take a year, I don't know, but around 29 A.D. Now, in 59 A.D., we read this argument, and so notice that just 30 short years later, the Apostle Paul is being an apologist. He is trying to defend and contend for the faith in the subject of the resurrection of Christ among believers, among the church at Corinth. Thus, the book 1 Corinthians is written to the church at Corinth. And notice, just 30 years after Christ rose from the dead, there had already been in the world a great opposition to the doctrine of Christ's resurrection. Let's read it and notice his arguments. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now that's what we call the gospel right there, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you have never believed from your heart that Christ died for your sins on the cross, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, then you are not saved. You are yet in your sins. And the Bible says the wrath of God abideth on us already. And I want to encourage you, when this message is over, right now where you're sitting, that you would turn your faith toward Jesus Christ and believe in him. Well, let's get back to the subject of the resurrection, verse 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, now that's Peter, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. In other words, 30 years after they saw him, most of these 500 brethren who saw Christ rise from the dead are still alive, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. That's a lot of witnesses right there, and we'll get to that when we get to our arguments about the resurrection of Christ. I once saw a cartoon about this angry man, and he was saying, only 500 witnesses and you expect me to believe it? And it was just a cartoon that made a powerful point, I thought. That's a lot of witnesses that saw Jesus Christ risen from the grave. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. We see in verse 17 the importance of this doctrine that we begin to study tonight. It's the most important doctrine. Everything else we believe about God, about the faith, it's all vain if Christ be not risen from the dead. We are yet in our sins, because he rose again for our justification. Verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. All of those that were brothers and sisters who put their faith in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And then more details are given about our resurrection. Because he lives, we shall live also. So we're going to see here that not just today, but in just 30 years' time from the resurrection, there was already a great debate and people who were struggling with the doctrine of the resurrection of Christ from the grave. So is it a hoax or is it history? Not only in 59 AD, 30 years after the resurrection, was there doubt cast on whether Christ really rose from the grave. And if he didn't rise from the grave, what happened to his body? And in the future weeks, we're going to examine all the different theories that have been proposed by unbelievers on what happened with the dead body of Christ if he didn't rise from the grave. I've got a flyer down in my office from the Nation of Islam that I'll pass around maybe next week, where they tell you what they believe about the resurrection and how Christ journeyed eastward. And they have a big building and a big monument, and they say inside of this building is the dead body of Jesus Christ. That's what they believe, and I'll show you a literal picture of that. And all of the major religions of the world deny the resurrection of Christ today. Some were struggling with this doctrine, but it wasn't just 30 years after that there began to be an issue about the resurrection, but the day he rose from the dead, there began to be an issue of his resurrection. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter number 28. In verse number 11, the Bible says, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. Now that means the guards that were assigned to the sepulcher where Jesus' dead body had been put. Of course, they all fell down almost dead during an earthquake, and they woke up and the stone was rolled away and Jesus had come out and he had risen from the grave. And they came and showed the chief priests this, verse 12. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. And they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Now, Matthew was written in about 37 AD, about 8 years after Christ rose from the dead. So the Bible is saying that 8 years after the resurrection, there was a common saying among the Jews that the disciples of Christ somehow, these men filled with fear, came down to the sepulcher and somehow got the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and all these soldiers slept through it. Not a one of them woke up. And while they were sleeping, these apostles were able to go into the tomb and take the body of Jesus Christ and take it out and run away with it and hide it somewhere. It was never found. And all this while they were slept. All this while they were sleeping. And this was proposed the day of his resurrection. And 8 years later, it was commonly said among the Jews, oh, the disciples stole the body. And we notice that they were bribed here to tell this lie. And so, I mean, without a doubt, if you were Satan, you'd have to oppose this doctrine, would you? And you would have to sow lies. Satan is a liar, and he is the father of lies. He gives birth to lies. And so we see that it was an issue in the day Christ rose from the grave. It was an issue 8 years later. In our text tonight, it was an issue 30 years later. When Paul was preaching in the book of Acts, he came across the Sadducees, and they were together with the Pharisees, and they were in joint persecution of Paul when Paul stood up in the midst of them and said, I stand in judgment of the resurrection of Christ. And when he said that, he said the Sadducees and Pharisees began to debate with each other because the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. And so we see at least three groups of people already who were denying the bodily resurrection of Christ from the grave. And today there's many other theories that have been propagated. The Jehovah's Witnesses, for instance, do not believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. They believe he just rose as a spirit. Well, he didn't have to rise as a spirit. His spirit was never buried. When Christ died on the cross, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. And so there would be no, if the spirit of Christ was the only part that was necessary for his resurrection, there wouldn't need to be any resurrection because his spirit was never buried. And so there's many arguments and many oppositions and theories, and we're going to try to go through a lot of them and try to give ourselves good answers for when we meet people like those, we talked about Islam or Jehovah's Witnesses or Jews and so on and so forth. The resurrection is either a wicked and heartless hoax that has deceived more people on this earth than any other hoax in history, or it is the most fantastic fact of history. Theodosius Harnack said, where you stand with regard to the fact of the resurrection is in my eyes no longer Christian theology. To me, Christianity stands or falls with the resurrection. All of the preaching of Peter, and I'll give you more examples a little bit later here, but Peter's theme as he preached the first sermon in Christian history on the day of Pentecost is outlined on your notes tonight from the workbook on apologetics, and about how he propounded the resurrection of Christ and preached it with power. There are more adherents today to Christianity than any other religion in the world. Now, of course, that doesn't mean they're all born-again Christians, but it does mean that those supposedly that agree with the tenets of Christianity believe in the resurrection of Christ from the dead. The resurrection entered intimately into the life of the earliest Christians. The fact of it appears on their tombs, in the drawings found on the walls of the catacombs. It entered deeply into Christian hymnology. When you study the hymns, so many are about the resurrection. It became one of the most vital themes of the great apologetic writings of the first four centuries. It was the theme constantly dwelt upon in the preaching of the anti-Nicene and post-Nicene period, and that word Nicene just referring to the place where the Christian creed was written for the first time in 325 AD. Some of you have read that thing. Some call it the Apostles' Creed. It's pretty accurate. And it goes through all the major doctrines of the Christian faith, including the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection of Christ is preached in the writings of those before that creed and after that creed, and until this day, people have preached the resurrection of the Lord. W.J. Simpson said, if the resurrection is not historic fact, then the power of death remains unbroken, and with it the effect of sin. And the believers are yet in their sins precisely where they were before they heard of Jesus' name. So your whole eternity, as well as mine, depends upon the resurrection of Christ from the dead. I'd like to quote you some from the book Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell, as we have been getting a lot. This is a great book to have for those of you that really like to dig in and just want to be sure. I mean, we accept this with childlike faith because God said it in His Word, and that's enough for us. But there's some that just want to be sure, and this is faith-building stuff, and it'll help your faith. Here's a good point brought out. It says, all but four of the major world religions are based on mere philosophical propositions. In other words, all but four of the major religions are based on philosophies. Of the four that are based on personalities rather than philosophies, only Christianity claims an empty tomb for its founder. Now here's the other three. Number one, Judaism. Abraham, the father of Judaism, died about 1900 BC, and no resurrection was ever claimed for him. All right, he's the father of Judaism. Nobody ever claimed that Abraham rose again from the dead. Considering Buddhism, Wilbur Smith writes this, the original accounts of Buddha never ascribed to him any such thing as a resurrection. In fact, in the earliest accounts of his death, namely the Mahaparinibbana Sutta. You want me to spell it? Mahaparinibbana Sutta. Whatever that is, that's the earliest account of his death. We read that when Buddha died, it was, quote, with the utter passing away in which nothing whatever remains behind, end quote. Judaism, Buddhism, and then there's Islam. That's the other of the third, that's the third of the four major religions. Professor Childer says, quote, there is no trace in the Pali, P-A-L-I, scriptures or commentaries of Sakyamuni having existed after his death or appearing to his disciples. Muhammad died June the 8th, 632 AD, at the age of 61 at Medina, where his tomb is annually visited by thousands of devout Mohammedans. All the millions and millions of Jews, Buddhists, and Mohammedans agree that their founder has never come up out of the dust of the earth in resurrection. Those are the four major religions that are based on personalities. Only Christianity says our personality, Jesus Christ, rose from the dead. All the others in their writings admit their founder died and remains dead. Wilbur Smith concludes, if our Lord said frequently, with great definitiveness and detail, that after he went up to Jerusalem, he would be put to death. But on the third day, he would rise again from the grave. And this prediction came to pass. Then it has always seemed to me that everything else that our Lord ever said must also Be true. Why? Because that's the hardest thing he said. You know, we really, myself, I'll be the first to raise my hand, we really take the preaching of Christ, I mean, and I'm going to show you some verses here in a minute. He put his whole credibility at stake by saying over and over and over again, kill me, and 3 days later, I'll rise from the grave. Everything he did, put his whole credibility at stake saying that. Now here's the point tonight, and here's the argument. Learn this, use it. There is no other religious personality that has ever lived or walked the earth or been associated with any type of religion whatsoever. Buddha, Mohammed, Confucius, any of the philosophers, Plato, Socrates, any of the cult leaders, Mary Baker Eddy, Charles Taze Russell, Joseph Smith, there is nobody that has ever walked this earth that has ever said, I will rise again. Nobody. Except Jesus Christ. He said it over and over and over and over again. And you think about this. He's putting the credibility of his whole ministry, all of his words, all of his works, all of his miracles, everything he ever taught, he was putting it all at stake based on one prophecy that he made, I'll rise again. Now, he made a lot of amazing prophecies, but that is the most amazing because nobody else has ever said that. You'd destroy your ministry if you said it. I'd destroy mine. Kill me, I'll rise again 3 days from now. What happens? 3 days after I'm dead, everybody would discount everything I've ever said or done. There's this guy on the radio, I won't mention his name, I'll be nice. He keeps predicting the second coming of Christ. He's a very, very rich man, and so he owns his own Christian radio, quote-unquote, radio station. He can say whatever he wants. But he keeps getting it wrong. First one was in 87, and all these other times, and then he explains, changes his teaching, changes his, learned this, that's on, so forth. What's he done to his credibility? He's wrecked his credibility. Got nice music, but he's wrecked his credibility. You understand what we're saying tonight? Use this argument. Learn how to defend your faith. Learn how to contend for your faith. Ask people, again, you got to do this with meekness. We're not here to hammer people over the head that doesn't get the job done, but ask them, could you name me any other religion or religious leader, philosopher, whoever said he'd rise from the dead in 3 days? But Jesus said it over and over and over again. It is the greatest proof we have that Christianity is the truth. And Jesus Christ is the truth. Now, we're starting at the ground up, and this will get deeper in the upcoming weeks, so you just keep coming. I'll turn your papers over. We got four questions here we want to ask in closing. Before we get to this, Adolf Harnack, who rejected the resurrection, rejected the church, yet he still admitted this, quote, the firm confidence of the disciples in Jesus was rooted in the belief that he did not abide in death but was raised by God. That Christ was risen was, in virtue of what they had experienced in him, certainly only after they had seen him, just as sure as the fact of his death, and became the main article of their preaching about him. H.P. Liddon said, faith in the resurrection is the very keystone of the arch of Christian faith, and when it is removed, all must inevitably crumble and ruin. All evidence of the New Testament goes to show that the burden of the good news of the gospel was not follow this teacher and do your best, but Jesus and the resurrection. You cannot take that away from Christianity without radically altering its character and destroying its very identity. W.J. Simpson said, if the resurrection is not historic fact, then the power of death remains unbroken, and with it the effects of sin. And the significance of Christ's death remains uncertified, and accordingly believers are yet in their sins, precisely where they were before they heard of Jesus' name. Now, on your sheets here, I got four questions to ask tonight, and then you've got scriptures before you. Number one, did Jesus prophesy before his death that he would rise again 3 days after his crucifixion? Like I said about 2 minutes ago, what a talk about sticking out your neck. And from the old farming analogy, talk about putting all of your eggs in one basket. Look what Jesus said. He said, for as Jonas in Matthew 12:40 was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And he went on to talk about the resurrection. This in answer to the skeptics who said, show us a sign. He said, I'm going to show you a sign. I'm going to show you a sign. You're going to remember it someday. But just like Jonah was in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Matthew 16:21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Matthew 17:9. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Matthew 17:23, and they shall kill him. Jesus is speaking here. And the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. Matthew 20:19, and shall deliver them, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. These are his words. This is before it happened. He's saying it over and over again. Matthew 26:32. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Mark 8:31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Mark 9:9. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept these sayings within themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. Mark 9:31, for he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Mark 10:34, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill. These are pretty specific prophecies, aren't they? Spitting, crucifying, mocking, scourging. Pretty specific. But the most profound is, he shall rise the third day. Mark 14:28, but after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Luke 9:22, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chiefs and priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. Luke 18:33, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. Those are his words. John 2, one more, verses 19 through 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. Now again, the words that I just read to you can be said of no other religious leader in history. No other religion in history. No other philosopher in history. I know we're so used to this. I know we are, but I hope tonight maybe we can just grasp a little bit of the profundity of it and say, wow, what a Savior. What a God. This was his most amazing prophecy. Yeah, he predicted the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, and he predicted the wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famines and pestilences and so on and so forth, and the Antichrist and the abomination of desolation in the temple and all those things. Amazing stuff. But man, all of that would have gone for naught if this one didn't come to pass. I'm going to rise again. Kill me. 3 days later, I'll rise from the grave. Man alive, and he said it openly. Now, he said it to his disciples, but many others heard. So our second question tonight is this. Did his enemies understand exactly what he said? I mean, was he really clear about it? Did his enemies understand exactly what he said? Well, let's read Matthew 27, verses 63 and 64, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, now these are the enemies talking to Pilate, who had delivered him up to be crucified. Sir, we remember that that deceiver, they're talking about Jesus, said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples coming by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Now notice this, we talked earlier, and we'll get into that argument in future weeks. We talked earlier about how they gave large sums of money to the soldiers, saying while we were sleeping, they came and stole them. But here 3 days before that, the specific reason they wanted to set a watch was for what reason? So they wouldn't steal him. But the point is that I'm trying to make at this moment is this. Sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. So the prophecy Christ made of his resurrection was not just one that he kept kind of secret for his disciples, but it was one that was widespread so that even his enemies heard clearly and repeated accurately what Jesus said he would do. Matthew 27, 39 and 40. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. Now this is while Christ is on the cross. He's hanging there dying. And they that passed by the cross reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. And see, here they are repeating the words of Christ that he had said that we read earlier, where he talked about the temple of his body in John 2, 19 through 21. Let's see you do it. Number three tonight, did the angels testify to the resurrection after the fact? I think angels' testimony is very important because these are perfect and righteous angels. They cannot lie. If they were lying, they'd be like the devil and his demons. And so we have the testimony now of the angels that were there at Gordon's tomb, probably what we believe to be the place of Christ's resurrection. Let's see what they said in Matthew's account. Matthew 28, 6 and 7. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples, what? That he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. So twice they testify there that he is risen from the dead. He's not here. He is risen. Go tell his disciples he is risen. Mark's account, chapter 16, verse 6. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Luke's account, Luke 24, 5 through 7. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living? These are the angels talking. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. They quote Christ. The angels quote Christ. The angels testify in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he's not here, he's risen. Just like he said. Now, last of all tonight, we've seen what Christ said. We've seen what Christ's enemies said. We've seen what the angels testified. Now notice his followers. Now they struggled believing or understanding his claim that he would rise again. They struggled. Every time he said it, they struggled with it. They reasoned, as it says earlier, we read, what does this rising of the dead mean in Mark chapter 9 and verse number 9? Well, what do they mean? What do you mean? What do you mean rising from the dead? But they knew he said it. They just didn't quite understand what he meant. But after it happened, did they doubt anymore or they testify of it? No, they testified of it. Let's go through 7 out of the 8 writers of the New Testament. The entire New Testament was written by 8 writers: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Paul, James, and Jude. What did Matthew say? Now, this is Matthew's account by the Holy Ghost. Matthew wrote these words, and he's not quoting here Jesus. He's not quoting an enemy. He's not quoting an angel. He's just writing what the Holy Ghost tells him to write. Matthew's words are these: and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now, that's talking about the resurrected Christ. He gives credence. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. Obviously, he must be alive. Mark, his account, Mark 16, 9. Again, he's not quoting Jesus. He's not quoting angels. He's not quoting enemies. Mark is saying in his account, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, but he quotes Cleopas and an unknown disciple in Luke 24 and verses 34, saying, now this is when Cleopas and the other disciple ran back from Emmaus all the way to Jerusalem, found the disciples, the apostles, and when they found them, Cleopas and the unknown disciple, it says, quoting, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. How about in the Gospel of John? John's words, again, not Jesus' words, not angels, not enemies, but John writes by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. And again in John 21:14, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he had risen from the dead. What about Peter? Well, while Peter was preaching in Acts 2 and verse 24, part of his sermon was this, quote, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, for it was not possible that he should be holden of it. How about Paul in his preaching? In Acts 17 and verse 3, one of his sermons, he said this, quote, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And then we have this testimony about James, that we read earlier in 1 Corinthians 15:7. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Now, these represent seven of the eight writers of the New Testament. All but Jude testify of the resurrection of Christ. And Jude's a small book, one chapter long, just before Revelation. Now, many other verses can be cited about the resurrection of Christ in the New Testament besides these that I put on this sheet for you today. But I just wanted you to notice that Jesus said it. He said it before it happened. And as far as I'm concerned, it is his most amazing prophecy on which all other prophecies, all other doctrine, all other teachings, even his miracles, hinge whether or not he rose from the grave. His enemies understood exactly what he meant when he said it. Angels testified of his resurrection, and all the New Testament writers but Jude testified of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. So remember this tonight. As we study the resurrection, whether it's a hoax or whether it's history, is that Jesus is the only one. Remember this argument. Jesus is the only one that ever walked this earth in human flesh of any religion who said, I'm going to rise from the dead 3 days after you kill me. I hinge everything I've ever come to do or to say on that prophecy. Kill me, and 3 days afterwards, I will rise from the dead. Folks, or history? Well, we're going to get into more specifics in the upcoming weeks, and we're going to take on the theories that people have propagated on what happened, the missing bodies theory, the swoon theory, and so on. And we will take them, and I think we'll take them apart one by one and build your faith in the resurrection. I serve a risen Savior, amen? He's in the world today. I know that he is living no matter what men say. He lives within my heart. All right, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer.